morning. Good morning. And welcome to First United Methodist Church Commerce. We are so glad you are here today and we get to worship together. I have several things to tell you. First of all, Brian Dieroff is in poetry today at the United Methodist Church there to baptize a dear friend of a clergy family, Sophia Owsley. And she is the baby daughter of David and Amelia Owsley. And so I'm solo today and you're stuck with me and I'm stuck with you, and I like that. I like that a lot. So, several other things to share with you. We get to come to the table today, to the altar, and everyone is welcome to come to receive the gift of the sacrament of Holy Communion, the bread and the cup, the grape juice. And so when that happens later in the service, please know that every person here is welcome to come. We are to come hungry, really, ready to be filled with Christ's grace. Pastor's Bible study is going on Wednesdays this season. It's going on twice in the day, noon and 6 p.m. And we are studying Adam Hamilton's study of half-truths. And it's very interesting. I think some people have gotten the idea that the things that we're talking about, like when bad things happen to good people, are untruths, but they're half-truths. And so we are studying those together, and it'll be a 5-week study. We've already done the first one, but you're welcome to join us Wednesday at noon and 6, and it's not too late to jump in. We meet in the Friendship Classroom on the main Sunday School room hallway. So you are invited. There is a large announcement in our bulletin about our Year of Jubilee. That is our celebration of 50 years at this location, in this building, as First United Methodist Church of Commerce, Texas. Unfortunately, there's no date on that, and we have set the date of October 20th. So please mark that on there and put it on your calendar. Sunday, October 20th will be the celebration day and kickoff for that season of celebration of our Year of Jubilee. There'll be a lot more said soon about the word Jubilee and what that means, but for now, just understand it's a celebration. And if you want to look it up in Scripture and Old Testament, you can surely get a head start on that. We got a chance, some of us, to go to Tyler's recital, his conducting and composition recital, on Friday evening, and it was wonderful music, and we are blessed to have you, Tyler, as part of our church family and as the leader of our music program. So we congratulate you on that success. Would like to also say that Amy Stark is beginning work in children's ministry as First United Methodist Church staff. So we are eager and excited about that, and I ask you to pray for us as we forge our way ahead and as we grow our families with youth and children. This kind of ministry is vital to growing our church younger, which we all agree is a good idea, and to our future, the future of First United Methodist Church. So I invite you to pray for our children's ministry as well as our youth ministry, and pray that God will help us grow both, and that God will help us grow our witness to and with young families. So, we certainly invite young families to come and bring their families to children's ministry and youth ministries. And that is a good and happy thing. And we celebrate the program that we have, the ministry we have with both. Did I mention Brian? Yes. So we'll miss him today, but we'll be fine. And I pray that he is doing well with the family that he's going to baptize this morning. So let us begin our worship. Please rise and let us share Psalm 30 on page 762 in your hymnal with the responses. So let us begin. For the night weeping may tarry, with the morning light comes joy. I will extol you, O Lord, for you have lifted me up and did not let my foes rejoice over me. O Lord, my God, I cried to you for help, and you healed me. O Lord, you brought up my soul from Sheol, restored me to life from among those gone down to the pit. For the night weeping may tarry, with the morning sing praises to the Lord, O his faithful ones, and give thanks to God's holy name. Weeping may tarry for the night, but joy comes in the morning.
As for me, I said in my prosperity, I shall never be moved.
By your favor, O Lord, you had established me as a strong mountain.
You hid your face, I was dismayed.
For the night weeping may tarry.
To you, O Lord, I cried, and to the Lord I made my supplication.
What profit is there in my death, if I go down to the pit?
Will the dust praise you? Will it tell of your faithfulness?
Hear, O Lord, and be gracious to me. O Lord, be my helper.
You have turned my mourning into dancing. You have loosed my sackcloth and girded me with gladness that my soul may praise you and not be silent. O Lord, my God, I will give thanks to you forever. Turn now to 173. Christ whose glory fills the sky. And following the passing of the peace, let us take just a moment to greet the people close to you and to welcome them to church. And particularly if someone close to you is someone that you don't know, introduce yourself and welcome them. So, the peace of the Lord be always with you.
And also with you.
Let us greet one another.
I know you all.
Thank you.
Your conversation and words of welcome are music to our ears. And as you take your seats, I would like to share with you that Jim Patton is going to talk with us about United Methodist Army, UM Army. Jim?
Thank you. Most of you probably already know about UM Army. They have visited our church and town, I think, 3 times in the past 10 years. But for those of you who may not be familiar, UM Army is a mission organization that provides mission work opportunities for junior high and high school students each summer. Usually it's during the month of June and July. This summer, in June, starting on the 16th through the 22nd, we will be hosting a UM Army camp of about 100 youth and their adult workers and sponsors in our church, and they'll be working in the community. There are 4 things that I would like to ask for you to do for this, to support this UM Army camp. First thing, a work camp is not any good unless you have some work. So we are seeking out work opportunities and projects that the youth can do during the week that they're here. The requirement really is very simple. We have to have owner-occupied homes that we can work on. We can't do anything on rental property or things like that. So if you know of anyone who owns their home and lives there and has has projects that need to be done, handicap access ramps, repairing a screen door. We don't do anything serious like replacing roofs, but something that youth workers and their adult counterparts can accomplish in a day or two are the perfect kind of projects for this camp. So help us identify some projects that need doing in our community, in our church community, or anywhere else for that matter. We'll be doing the site evaluations probably the end of this month to get ready for it. Number two, we always need money to support these things. The youth campers pay a $250 fee to come to the camp, and that covers most of the expenses for materials, food, that sort of thing. But anything we can do to help offset that lets their dollars go further in buying materials and providing the services. So during the month of May, our drop a dollar donations will all go toward UM Army, and we're hoping that we'll be able to provide all the paper goods that they need for the kids and the adults. We'll supply or add to our supply of toilet paper and paper towels so that they don't have to lug that stuff from wherever they're coming from. Number three, the Army's advance on their bellies. So there's a lot of eating that has to go on with 100 kids and adults for a week. On Sunday, when they all arrive, it's difficult for the camp staff to be ready to start feeding people because they're arriving from all over the place. So we're going to ask that this church provide a meal on Sunday evening so that we can welcome them with open arms and they can just work on getting the camp set up and getting everybody moved in and all of that stuff. The fourth opportunity is one just of service, because on Thursday nights of each camp week is the homeowner celebration, in which the homeowners whose homes have been worked on during the week are invited to come eat dinner and share in a worship service with the campers. It, having served as a kitchen coordinator for 4 camps in my lifetime, I know that it is a welcome opportunity if somebody can help in the kitchen and let the kitchen workers come to this community celebration. Because during the week, they're stuck in the kitchen cooking or cleaning up, and they don't really get to meet the families that we've worked with. So if we can gather volunteers to help the kitchen staff serve and particularly clean up after the meal on Thursday evening, gives them the opportunity to come in and enjoy the service and get to know the families better. So I would like to say I'm on the board of UM Army North by Northwest, which covers the North Texas Conference and the Northwest Texas Conference, and it has been a great joy over the last, I don't know, 7 or 8 years that I've been on the board to see the work that happens, to see the transformation in the lives of the kids, and oftentimes the transformation in the lives of the homeowners that we serve. So any way you can help will be greatly appreciated. Thank you.
Thank you, Jim. And now let the ushers come and collect up and present our offering and our gifts. And are you ready? And as they come, let us pray a prayer of dedication. God, as we come giving gifts, we are aware that you are the great gift giver, and that everything that we might say or do would be only a reflection of the great ways that you have gifted us. But God, we seek to be faithful, and we trust that in placing our offerings and making our tithes to the ministries and the witnesses of this congregation, that all of this might be blessed and might be turned into something incredibly good by your grace, your holy grace. In that grace and in that confidence, we pray. Amen. Thank you. Let us turn to number 355, Depth of Mercy, and sing together. Please take your seats. Have several prayers to share with you, and one of those is that Wyman Williams is having surgery, and many of you probably know about that already. But let us be in prayer for our new mayor and our old mayor, and let us lift him to God for healing. Also want to lift up our children's ministry with new leadership under Amy Stark and others whom she will recruit, some of you, whom she will recruit to help to lead us forward in that work. Also, Tom Dudley is a retired United Methodist pastor who attends our early service down in the chapel on the other end of the building. And he was in a horrible car accident. He is not hurt too badly, but it was a five-vehicle accident. His vehicle got it from both ends. And so please lift Tom in your prayers. And there are plenty of others on our prayer list in the bulletin. I invite you to take those and to please just lift a prayer for those people, the saints, especially for the joys and the recent concerns, that second paragraph. I won't read those to you. You can read them for yourselves and lift them to God, of course. And then this is sort of in the form of a celebration and maybe a little bit of a goodbye. We have had a season of wonderful gifts to our choir through some of our students. And Malik is going to be staying. But I understand that our soprano, alto, and bass section leaders are going to be moving on, and today is your last day. And I want you to stand so we can recognize you and thank you appropriately for all you've done. It's Karen Hand. Karen Hancock is soprano, Ryan Seekins, alto, Joshua Ross, bass baritone. And so we are grateful to you for sharing your gift of music. God bless. So, let us together make our prayers to God, and let us begin in moments of silence. Let us pray. Oh God, as we breathe in and breathe out, help us to breathe out all that causes us to struggle and be weary, that causes us to worry or fret, and help us to breathe in your goodness, your fresh grace, and the light and lightness of your Holy Spirit. God, as we breathe out, let us breathe out the frustrations and the wounds and the darkness. And let us breathe in a refreshing wind of your Spirit and the light of your grace, and so that we may celebrate the companionship and all of the grace that we share in you. God, as we are gathered this morning, we pour out our hearts to you. Where we are challenged, we pray that you would give us hope. Where we have sinned, we pray that you would forgive us and redeem us and continue to make us whole in the wonderful and amazing grace of Christ. Where we are careless, we pray that you would help us to grow. They would help us to be confident in our faith and to live out our faith in ways that will bring you joy. God, in all these prayers, you have heard the naming of Wyman and Amy in our children's ministry, and of Tom and of these wonderful students for whose lives and gifts and sharing of those gifts we give thanks. And we also lift to you those secret things that are within us, those confessions, those needs that we have. And we seek to honor you in all that we are, all that we say and do. And we hold you close. That's why we worship. That's why we sing your praise. That's why we celebrate you in the sacrament. That's why we share the gifts of Holy Scripture that are part of your word to us. Oh God, in these moments as we come to the altar today, we pray that our eyes might be opened, that our hearts might be opened, that our very lives might be opened, broken apart, and left open, that you might come to us, that you might hold us and fill us not with ourselves, but with your grace. Oh God, for each person that's gathered here today, we pray for an extra measure of that grace. And we pray that you would show us and teach us and lead us into ways that we might share that grace in our world on Monday and Wednesday and Friday. That you would help us to be bold about sharing our faith and our confidence and above all our hope in Jesus Christ. That you would help us to be brave, to be able to reach out to others and to scatter the seeds of hope that have been sown in us, and to scatter those in places where they will take root and grow, where they will find new ground, fertile ground, and territory where your word may thrive and flourish, and that word in us and others might cause life to be renewed and hope to be renewed, and that it would multiply like the seeds in a garden. Oh God, we love you and we thank you for loving us so dearly, in Jesus' name. And we pray this prayer together, people of faith, in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Neville? There you go.
Our first scripture today is Psalm 30. You can read along on page 478 of your pew Bibles. I will extol you, O Lord, for you have drawn me up and did not let my foes rejoice over me. O Lord, my God, I cried to you for help and you have healed me. O Lord, you brought up my soul from Sheol, restored me to life from among those gone down to the pit. Sing praises to the Lord, O you, his faithful ones, and give thanks to his holy name. For God's anger is but for a moment, and his favor is for a lifetime. Weeping may linger for the night, but joy comes with the morning. As for me, I said in my prosperity, I shall never be moved. By your favor, O Lord, you had established me as a strong mountain. You hid your face. I was dismayed. To you, O Lord, I cried, and to the Lord I made supplication. What profit is there in my death if I go down to the pit? Will the dust praise you? Will it tell of your faithfulness? Hear, O Lord, and be gracious to me. O Lord, be my helper. You have turned my mourning into dancing. You have taken off my sackcloth and clothed me with joy, so that my soul may praise you and not be silent. O Lord, my God, I will give thanks to you forever. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Joy.
Beautiful, thank you. I'd like to share with you from John 21, if you want to follow along in your scriptures. John 21, that's the last chapter of John, verses 1 through 19. This is post-resurrection, post-Easter. So listen to these words of celebration and of invitation. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples by the Sea of Tiberias. And he showed himself in this way. Gathered there were Simon Peter, Thomas called the twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two others of his disciples. And Simon Peter said to them, I am going fishing. And they said to him, we'll go with you. And they went out and got into the boat, and all that night they caught nothing. Just after daybreak, Jesus stood on the beach. But the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. And he said to them, children, you have no fish, have you? And they answered him, no. And he said to them, cast the net to the right side of the boat, and you will find some. So they cast it, and now they were not able to haul it in because there were so many fish. The disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, it is the Lord. And when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on some clothes, for he was stripped for work, and he jumped into the sea. But the other disciples came to the boat, dragging the net full of fish, for they were not very far from the land, only about 100 yards off. When they had gone ashore, they saw a charcoal fire there with fish already on it and bread. And Jesus said to them, bring some of the fish that you have just caught. So Simon Peter went aboard and hauled the net ashore full of large fish, 153 of them. And although there were so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, come have breakfast. Now none of the disciples dared to ask him, who are you? Because they knew it was the Lord. Jesus came and took bread and gave it to them and did the same with the fish. This was now the third time that Jesus had appeared to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. And when they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? He said to him, well, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And Jesus said to him, feed my lambs. A second time, Jesus said to him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Do you love me? And he said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And Jesus said to him, then tend my sheep. He said to him the third time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? And Peter felt hurt because Jesus said to him the third time, do you love me? And he said to him, Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you. And Jesus said to him, then feed my sheep. Very truly, I tell you, he went on, when you were younger, you used to fasten your own belt and go where you wished. But when you grow old, You will stretch out your hands and someone else will fasten a belt around you and take you where you do not wish to go. He said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. And after this, he said again to him, "Follow me." May the Lord add a blessing to the reading and hearing of this, God's holy word. The disciples weren't really expecting to see Jesus that day, I think. And perhaps we would not have either. But you know, when your eyes are looking at the ground, it's hard to see what is out front of you. When your eyes are downcast and you're discouraged, it's hard to see good news. And in fact, even if you see it, it's hard to believe good news. But in this moment, Jesus gives an odd way of getting their attention. "Bring some of the fish you have caught," he says. Jesus intends to show his generosity to them, but he also invites them to participate in it, to bring some of the fish that they have caught. This is after the resurrection. Jesus calls them now to bring what they have, and he blesses it right there on the grill. You can already smell it roasting. It's been a very little time after Easter, but in these moments, Jesus celebrates the resurrection, and he calls the disciples to recognize him. They know it's him. Peter was so excited, he put his clothes back on to jump in the water. Now, that's funny. And he swam toward Jesus. He swam toward the shore. He had been stripped for work so that he could do his fishing and not worry about getting his clothes wet. He put his clothes back on to jump in the water. That's kind of crazy. They weren't expecting to see Jesus that day. But he is risen and he appears to them. And he says, "Take my hand and trust me." And Peter takes his hand and raises up out of the water. This is no ghostly appearance of Jesus, the risen Lord. This is real. And Jesus begins to give them real instructions. Bring what you have. And they had quite a catch. They had 153 fish. There has been a lot of speculation as to why that number and what that number means, how you can add it up or add up the digits or divide it up somehow. I have no idea what that number means. I've not been convinced by any of the things that I've read by it, but it does seem to be a miraculous number. 153. The disciples had just been fishing on one side of the boat and the other, and they were catching nothing. And Jesus said, "Draw it all in, put it back out over here." And they catch so many fish that they can hardly drag in the net. Jesus suggests they try something different, a new direction maybe. The other side of the boat. And it works. Sometimes suggestions like that can seem dumb. Like, duh, we just did that, Jesus. Or in your relationships, "We just did that, honey." Or, "We just did that, Dad." But in this case, it paid off to pay attention to Jesus because they had a miraculous catch of fish. Perhaps there is some significance in their obedience, where Jesus said, put out your nets on the other side of the boat. Put out your nets on the other side, where you thought it was not going to be fruitful, and it just might be. We look for Jesus' presence. We look for it right here at this table in the communion that we will share in just a few moments. We look for his presence, but what would it be like to think about becoming Jesus' presence? That's what we say together when we bless one another with a benediction and say, go in peace, knowing the presence of the risen Lord, knowing his face in your life, and knowing his hand lifting you up out of the water. That's great news. See, Peter did what Jesus said. Put your net out on the other side. He didn't say, well, that's a dumb suggestion. He did it. The other disciples complied too. They weren't just trusting themselves. They were trusting in the strong arm of Jesus to lift them to a new place, to help them with a catch, and with a strong arm like the one that Jesus used to pull Peter up out of the water. We need that too. Where can we look for his face and see Jesus the Lord, to recognize him? How can you let him take your hand or take his hand and be ready for a miracle, a meal like you've never had before? You may think you're bringing up the catch of fish and that you find after all of that work that Jesus already had the fish cleaned and in fact had them on the grill on a fire by the side of the Sea of Galilee. You've worked hard. You've been sweating. But the Lord has done the providing, and the aroma of that fish grilling and the toasted bread on the grill makes you feel right at home. Like the time that Jesus was in the boat with them. Now, that was a day to remember. Those days had happened again and again. How many times do we find ourselves in the boat with Jesus and we don't even notice it? We are by his side, he by our side, and we fail to pay attention. We fail to listen like our kids don't listen sometimes, or like we didn't listen when we were kids. Jesus already has begun to fill the place with the aroma of grilled fish and bread. He didn't need the 153, that miraculous catch. He didn't need the fish that they brought. Jesus didn't need them to catch fish right then at all. He wanted to share fellowship with them, and they with him. And so they feasted together on that tasty Mediterranean seaside shore with the tasty aroma of fresh grilled fish. Let us open our eyes, open our attention, open our hearts to the presence of Jesus. We may not smell it like you would if there's an open charcoal fire, but you may just see a difference in your fruitfulness. You may see a difference in the catch you bring in if you just put your nets out on the other side of the boat and go with Jesus. Jesus comes to meet us here at this altar. I've heard it said that this beautiful room looks kind of like a boat. You can sort of see the ribs, the beams, and the peaked, pointed ceiling. Maybe we could imagine ourselves today in the boat. And Jesus is saying to us, come ashore. Let's have some breakfast. We have a chance to come to the table today, and everyone is invited to come. We get to come and share early, misty morning breakfast with Jesus. Let us begin. I invite you to page 12 in our hymnals. And as I said earlier, this table is open to all of you, all of us. No limits. Jesus is yours and you are his. Christ our Lord invites to this table all who love him, who earnestly repent of our sin and seek to live in peace with one another. Therefore, let us confess our sin and our need for his grace before God and one another. Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done your will. We have broken your law. We have rebelled against your love. We have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Let our confessions continue in silent moments. And now, hear the good news that Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
In the
name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. Glory to God. Amen. Now the Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, O Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. And so, with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. By the baptism of his suffering and death and resurrection, you gave birth to your church and delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. On the night that Jesus gave himself up for us, he took bread, and he gave thanks to you, and he broke the bread, and he gave it to his disciples, saying to them, "Take and eat, for this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And when the supper was over, Jesus took the cup, lifting it also in thanksgiving. And he gave it to his disciples and to you and me and said, "Drink from this, all of you. For this is my blood of the new covenant that is poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink of it in remembrance of me. And so, in remembrance of these your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we now offer ourselves in praise and in thanksgiving as a holy and lively sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us as we proclaim together the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Pour out your Holy Spirit upon us gathered here and upon these gifts of bread and cup. Make them to be for us the body and blood of Christ, a sign that we may be for the whole world the body of Christ, redeemed by His precious blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world until Christ comes in heavenly victory and we feast at His heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit and your Holy Church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. And now, with the confidence of children of God, let us pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Let our servers come and join me here, and our musicians. This is the body of Christ, the bread of life, given for you. The blood of Christ, the very lifeblood of hope, poured for you. Amen. John, the body of Christ, bread of life, given for you. Nevin.